Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded. And when God began creating us, this was God's water. All creeping things God created, all races, male and female, God created us.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree, whose branches bore the fruit that we weren't to taste.
And this water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start all over again. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us that God will never destroy creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God. This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
And this is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery.
This is the water by which Miriam and the women led them in the rhythms of dancing and liberation.
And this water sprung out of the rocks in the desert when the people started whining because they wanted to go back to the way things used to be.
These are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded to God for forgiveness and received it.
And these are the waters of Babylon by which all of our ancestors sat down and wept tears with their harps and tongues silent for their deep homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan on the day they saw the dove and heard the deep voice of God that said, "You are my beloved, in you my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water, and then he sank and he was lifted up, forming the life of a disciple.
This is the well in Samaria, where Jesus chatted unchaperoned with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her full dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he touched and healed one who had no hearing. This is the spittle that he restored the sight of those who could not see.
And this is the water he used to cut the wine at his very last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
And this is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence on Jesus.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief could not be quenched.
And this is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is our way.
And this is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
This liturgy and music comes to us from our celebration of baptism. We gather one time a year here in our community to celebrate baptism together. On October 25th, this coming fall, we will do this once again. And for me as a pastor, it's one of the most powerful, amazing worship gatherings that we have here at the table every year. Partly because 5 years ago, the very first time we worked through this liturgy and created this gathering together, my daughter, Eleanor, was one of the children that was baptized during that time. And then last fall, 9 adults and 6 children came to this very water to celebrate the love of God that moves in their lives. And if you're interested or wondering about what it might be like for you to be baptized or for your child to be baptized, Pastor Linda and I would love to talk more with you about how we prepare and get ready for this celebration of baptism in the fall. We'd love to meet and to talk. We didn't put it on the bulletin, but you could write it in on that tear-off and then place it in an offering. Just let us know your name and a way to contact you, and we'd love to find a time to talk more about what baptism might mean for you and what it means here in our church's life. And you could place that in an offering plate as we gather. First time that we did this a few years ago here in worship, there was a group of teenagers that were sitting in the back of the sanctuary. And as the drumming started, one of those teenagers leaned over to his friend and he said, "This feels primal." And it kind of does. Like, there's an element of primalness that comes out in this. It's this longing, I think, that we all have as God's children to be named as beloved. That feels like a primal need to me. And that's what baptism celebrates. It celebrates this naming of God, of all of us, and for God, all truly means all, of our belovedness. See, so many of us struggle, folks that I've met with this in this very room, and myself as well. We struggle with not feeling like we're good enough, or we're not quite smart enough. We didn't quite work hard enough. We have really long lists of the things that we're just not enough for. And in baptism, we remind ourselves as a community of God's deep and abiding love that says you are a beloved child, just as you are, each and every one of you. We kneel before these waters and we're drenched in God's love that says, "I've always been making you new." And at this moment, this little community celebrates the belovedness of who you are. Luke says it this way in chapter 3. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You're my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" There's a young woman named Rachel Held Evans who's been doing a lot of writing about the sacraments. And so I'm going to invite us to take just a few minutes to listen to her reflect on the significance and meaning of baptism for her. So let's listen.
Baptism is a naming. That's ultimately, baptism is naming someone a child of God. And it's
a child of God.
Well, I think we're all children of God, and I think baptism acknowledges that. And you don't become a child of God when you cross off a list of things to do, or even when you are baptized. Being baptized is simply a naming, an acknowledgement of someone's existing belovedness. I mean, when Jesus was baptized, he didn't only begin to be beloved by God when he was baptized. It was an acknowledgement of his eternal belovedness.
Well, he was God, but not everybody else.
Right. Yes, but I think it's true for everyone else.
Not everybody's created in God's image.
I like that you're playing devil's advocate here. But, well, really, I think baptism is an acknowledgement of people's belovedness. And when we treat it as that, it's in the Orthodox tradition, it's part of the baptismal service is a renunciation of Satan and his demons and of evil. And the way I kind of look at that and apply that is, in baptism is a renunciation of all those competing voices that try and tell you who you are. The world says, gives you names like screw up, faker, fat, slut, addict. In baptism, you're named beloved. And then the world, like demons, beckon with rich, powerful, pretty, right. But in baptism, you're told you're beloved and that's enough. I think everyone wants to be told sort of who they are. And in baptism, we're told you are a beloved child of God. And we're told to renounce anything that says otherwise. And it's a really, it's a defiant thing to do. I look at baptism as defiance because the world will always try to name us. And in baptism, we say, no, my name is beloved. So whether that happens when you were an infant and you are remembering your baptism as God naming you beloved, or whether it happens as an adult, I think when we look at our baptisms and we think about the significance of our baptisms, it's that we are named by God and that that's enough.
Good news.
It is good news.
These last couple of weeks in our series called I Wonder, we've been reflecting each week. We began with an introduction and orientation to godly play. And so we're surrounded right now by the very same stories that surround our children in their godly play sanctuaries. These stories hold them. It's a container for them to wonder about God and God's love and grace in their lives. And we want to invite you later in worship to move and to see some of these stories, to work with them. They're all open for us as God's people to work with those. Last week, Jackie shared the story that you see right in front of us, the first creation story in Genesis, the 7 days of creation. And this morning I'm going to share just a little bit, at least kind of a version of godly play's story of baptism. And in godly play, we always need some materials to help us to get ready to tell this story. And so we have those right here with us. See, following in the ways of Jesus, we baptize in the name of God, our Creator. And in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. This is the water of creation. This is the water of danger, of the floods. This is the water that the people of God cross through on their way to liberation and freedom. This is the water that broke in that barn, and this is the water in which Jesus was baptized. Once there was someone who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people would ask him who he is. He had lots of different answers. One time when they asked who he was, he said, I am the light. The Holy Spirit goes wherever it wills. It's invisible, but it moves kind of like a dove on the invisible wind that goes through. And it's seen only as invisible, like we might smell the scent of an oil. Invisible, but with us as well. And so this morning, I'm going to try to help us to think together and wonder together about baptism. And I'm going to use this doll. It's from our house where Eleanor picked one out for me this morning to help us in this way. And I'm going to do this, but it's not always babies that are baptized. Children of all ages come to these waters, babies, teenagers, adults, people nearing the very end of their life. But we celebrate the sacrament of baptism one time during our life. And then we spend or have an opportunity to spend the very rest of our life living in to that baptismal covenant. So pastors meet with families of individuals who want to learn more or wonder about baptism. We meet with those individuals and we help us all get ready for what the significance of baptism is in our own lives. And then we gather for worship. We'll do that in the fall on October 25th. And that same music, that primal feel, will fill this space as we gather together to celebrate God's unconditional love. And then we turn, once we're all ready, we turn together to some historic questions. And Linda or myself will ask either the parent or the person being baptized if they will seek to do no harm. And we use some of the old language of our Christian tradition that you heard Rachel Held Evans talk about. We'll say, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? And do you reject the evil powers of this world? And do you repent of your sin or those places in your life that feel broken? That's our way of saying, do you long to do no harm? And then we'll say, do you hope to do all the good that you can? And the way we say that in our church is to look back to how it's been said throughout the generations. And we'll say, do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they come to you or however they present themselves? And then we'll say, do you hope to stay in love with God? Is that your longing? And we say it like this, do you hope to confess? Do you confess now that Jesus Christ is the one that you put your hope in, is your Savior? Do you put your trust in that same Christ and promise to serve Him, not others, all these other people that want to name you, but just to trust the one that calls you beloved and put your hope there? And do you do so in union with the church that Christ has opened to all people? And then we as a church make a commitment that we want to watch over all these individuals in love as they seek to come to these healing waters. And then we invite those people to come forward when we're all ready. And we'll ask a question. We'll ask a parent, what name have you given this child? We'll ask the adult, what name have you been given? See, we're all named as God's beloved through the act of baptism. So I want to invite us, maybe my friends can help us. Could we give this little baby a name for today to help us? Do we have any names that we could think of for her? Any names? Jacob, do you have any names that you'd give this baby? What would you like to call her? Anything you guys can think of? What would you want to call her?
Easter.
All right. So we say, Easter, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ now and always. We make the sign of the cross, reminding this child of God
of their belovedness, that God will never let them go and there's nothing they can do about it. And then each child or each adult who's come forward for baptism receives a candle. And here in our sanctuary, we move over to our prayer stations, and each of those people who gather light a candle. Some of you have done that very thing in this community. So we'll do so for Easter. And I invite you, as I light this one, for those who've been baptized, to think of this as your candle. Or for those who are wondering about baptism, to wonder about what it might be like for you to light that candle. And then there are folks in here who've come forward these last few years. I know that Jacob came to these waters not very long ago. I know that Noah and Brenda came together to these waters. And I know that this Jacob came with his mommies to this very water too. So many in this room have come to these healing waters. So many in this room are wondering about coming to them this fall. And look what's happened. I wonder how it is that one light can create all of this light, and still at this moment, none of that light has been lost. I wonder how that is. I want to invite you to watch as we change the light. Notice I didn't say we're going to extinguish the light or the light's going to go out. We're just going to change the light. I don't know if you can see it right where you are. But as the light is changed, it goes out and up and around and throughout our sanctuary. So that that one light that started right there is now filling this very room. So that wherever you go today, the light of the one who's gone before us to show us the way fills this very room, filling us with hope and with love, calling us to remember that we are beloved children of God. So let us pray. God, may your healing waters remind us that in a world that calls us many names and a world that holds for us many expectations, that you simply say we are enough. We are beloved. We give thanks for the many people who have come to these healing waters to be named by you as a beloved child. We give thanks as well for the people in this room who are wondering together about what it might be for them or for their children to gather and to be named by you as beloved in your creative ways and in your many names. Amen.